Father, we thank you for your word. We bless your name. We are overwhelmed with how much you love us, how much you care for us. Even when we're running from you, you are chasing after us, pursuing us. So, Father, now as we come to your word, we pray that you would let us see what it is that you want us to see, what it is that you want us to hear. Give us ears for that. And, Father, I pray that we would see Jesus and only Jesus. It's in the name, the powerful, sweet name of Jesus that we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 12 today. Let's read together. Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, convinced of this. I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." On the outside looking in, it doesn't look like Paul has much reason to have any peace in his life. Paul's past is enough to keep him up at night. The lives that he took, the lives that he ruined in the name of religion, his past was not pretty. Now, Paul has since changed his ways. Now his present, he's stuck in a Roman prison. He's stuck in chains. His present isn't any better. But at least maybe the reason for Paul's peace, maybe the reason for his joy, is that he just had some good old positive thinking about the future. Yeah, the future is going to be brighter. The future is going to be better. And that's the reason that he rejoices. Well, no, not exactly. You see, Paul is underneath the rule of the emperor Nero, and Nero was not nice. In fact, Nero had sent a lot of people like Paul, a lot of Christians, to the Roman Colosseum, not to be entertained, but to be the entertainment. The future wasn't all that bright for Paul. So, his past, his present, and his future all riddled with potential problems. Yet he has this peace. And he has more than that. He has this joy. Paul says, "I rejoice." This is the second statement that we want to look at. Last week he said, "I always pray." This week we want to look at the fact that he says, "I rejoice." Now, we don't have to wonder, we don't have to guess at why it was that Paul had joy. He tells us. Let's go back to verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Let's just stop right there. First of all, anytime that you're reading Paul, whether it's Philippians or Ephesians, anytime he says, I want you to know, in other words, that means pay attention, right? Like, he didn't have bold font. He didn't have an exclamation point. But he would say, I want you to know. Well, Paul, what is it that you want us to know? Well, I want you to know that even what's happening to me, it is serving to advance the gospel. Now, I don't know how much the Philippians knew about all that Paul had suffered. And he did. He suffered a lot. But what they did know was that he was wrapped up in chains in a Roman prison, awaiting trial, and had been for likely around 2 years. You see, this has the potential to discourage them, the fact that Paul is in chains. And so why is he writing them? He's writing them to encourage them, to reassure them. That even though this looks bad, I want you to know that it's actually serving to advance the gospel. So what seems like horrible news is actually good news, because it is the good news of Jesus that is being proclaimed, even to the palace guard. Look at this, continue to read. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Do you hear it in his voice? He has this peace. He has this joy. He says, I rejoice. But we don't have to wonder why. He tells us, number one, the palace guard. Now, this is the Roman palace guard. These aren't just any Roman soldiers. This is the cream of the crop. These are people with influence. And Paul says, I'm getting to preach Christ to them. And that gives him joy. And on top of that, it's not just what's happening in the prison. Paul points to the believers all around. He says, they're being more courageous. They're actually being emboldened because of the courage that they see in my life. That courage is rising up in them because of the courage that they see in me. So I rejoice. And then he goes on to say, yeah, there are some people out there that are preaching Christ for the wrong reasons. It's impure motives, false motives. Paul's not a big fan of them. They're not a big fan of Paul. Paul says, that's all right. It's all good. It's all good. Why? Because Christ is being preached. Because the gospel is being advanced. In spite of everything else, the gospel is being advanced, and that is enough for me to say, I rejoice. What Paul is saying is that the mission matters more to me than what happens to me. The mission matters more to me than what happens to me. Now, I got to ask you, what is that for you? Do you have a mission in life that matters more to you than what happens to you? What matters most in your life right now? What gets you up in the morning? What can you get so excited about that it actually kind of keeps you up at night? What would you be willing to take a risk for? What would you be willing to sacrifice for? In other words, you're sitting in jail, and I hope none of you ever end up there. But let's just say you're sitting in jail and you don't want to be there. But whatever it is, you're like, totally worth it. What is that for you? Paul would say, I know. I know what that is for me. There's no doubt in my mind. The mission for me is that Christ would be preached. And that is when he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What's he saying? He's saying, I have no idea what's going to happen to me next. I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. But regardless of what happens to me next, If I live, I get to preach Christ. If I die, I get to go be with Christ. Either way, I win. Either way, I win. Either way, I rejoice. Paul says, I'm torn. I'm torn between the two. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever thought that? I'm just torn. Like, I know if I stay here, I'm going to get an opportunity to preach Christ. But being with Christ, as Paul would say, is better by far. He's torn. It's not like he's torn about, like, where he's going to go to lunch after services today. He's torn. Because for him, Christ is everything. For to me, to live is Christ. And that is why he is able to say, I rejoice. He knows what that is in his life. I do not envy Paul's problems. But I do envy his perspective. And if you're here this morning and you need to shift your perspective, even maybe while you still feel stuck, but you want to be able to shift your perspective just like Paul did, I want to give you three things today that you can begin doing that Paul shows us in this path to peace. Paul shows us three things in this passage that we can do and that we can begin this week. The first thing that we can do is you need to turn your problems off repeat. Turn your problems off repeat. I have this button on my playlist. I love this button. It's the repeat button. And if my song comes on, like my jam comes on, I mean, I want to hear this for a while. And so I'll just hit repeat and listen to it over and over and over. Or maybe it's a worship song that I want to learn for the weekend, or it's just something that I just want to, you know, just really hear over and over. That works great for a song. That is terrible for problems. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about, because somehow, instead of praise being on our mind, it's like the problems of life. And please hear me. I do not want to trivialize any of the problems or any of the pain in your life. But you know what I'm talking about. It's like we put those problems on repeat. Maybe it's a problem from the past. Maybe it's something that someone did to you, something that someone said to you. And you know what? They never even said they were sorry. And they've since moved on, but you got that song on repeat. The song of your past. Maybe it's present problems. Like, it's not in the past. You don't have to imagine it in the future. It just is. Gas prices up, stock market down. The prayers go up and the rain does not come down. It's present and we feel it and it is real. But it doesn't have to be on repeat. You know, we know a lot about Paul. And we know a lot about the problems that Paul experienced. And he experienced a lot of problems. If you've read what Luke writes about Paul, we know that he was beaten. He was wrongfully accused. He was shipwrecked. He was bit by a snake. Seriously, you got to read your Bible. And yet we don't know all those things because Paul wrote them down. We know those things because others wrote them down. You see, Paul did not rehearse his problems for others. Now, sometimes it is healthy for us to talk about our problems. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to find trusted people. Maybe it's counseling. We need to find those opportunities where we can get therapy and we can talk about our problems. But I'm talking about those moments where we're not wanting help. We're just simply wanting an audience. Turn your problems off repeat, and you will begin to have more joy in your life. It's what Paul did. The second thing that we can do, preach Christ with your life. What if someone said, this week, you must preach Christ with your life? Not in 2 weeks, not in a month from now, not in a year from now, but like before this week is over, you must preach Christ with your life. Now, by the way, if you're here today, you're worshiping with us online, and you're not a Jesus follower, you're off the hook. But if you are a Jesus follower, this is non-negotiable. To preach Christ with your life, Paul would say, this is the mission. It's non-negotiable. And if someone were to tell you, you have to preach Christ with your life before this week is over, what would it change? Would it change any of your plans this week? Would it change the way you see the time that you spend? Would it change anything in your calendar? Would it change anything in your checkbook? If you knew that this week you were to preach Christ with your life, because a lot of times when we hear that word preach, what do we envision? We envision something like what I'm doing right now. There's usually some type of platform, maybe a microphone, maybe an auditorium, maybe an audience, but you don't need any of those things to preach Christ with your life. And God has placed specific gifts that he has given only to you, spiritual gifts, so that the people that you come in contact with this week don't just receive you, they receive Jesus through you. The more that happens in your life, the more your life is grounded in that mission, you're going to find peace, just like Paul did. Turn your problems off, repeat. Preach Christ with your life. Number three, trust solely in God's sovereignty. We see Paul doing this so much. Trust solely in God's sovereignty. I don't typically stroll through art galleries. I'm not that. I can appreciate art. So if you love art, I can appreciate it, and I do. And I love to do that. And a couple weeks ago, my family and I, we were on vacation. We were out of town on vacation. And we just happened to notice that they had like this massive art gallery. I mean, every time you go on like TripAdvisor or something like that, it was like things to do. And it was like, it kept popping up like number one. I'm going, okay, let's try it out. So we did. We went and we walked around in this art gallery, and there were, it really was amazing. I mean, the paintings, the sculptures, and the music. But there was something that really caught my eye as we were walking through. And it was a tapestry. By the way, it wasn't this one. That would be wrong. That would be stealing. I just wanted to be clear about that up front. It was a tapestry. And I began to notice like every thread was so beautifully and so intentionally placed by the artist. The artist saw something in his or her mind and placed everything in that design just where they wanted it. But have you ever seen the back of a tapestry? You might think maybe someone like me put it together. If you look at the back of a tapestry, it is not so beautiful, not so intentional. Now, you can see some things. You can see just a little bit of design, but the colors are kind of dull, kind of faded. Some tapestries that are not even as finished as this one have threads hanging all over them, maybe knots in the threads that the artist is using to put all the colors right where they want them. But you see, the artist never intended for the tapestry to be seen from the back. The artist intended for the tapestry to be seen from the front. Now that's better, isn't it? A little more detail. I can tell a little bit more about what the artist meant for this to be. The design of it. The artist meant for the tapestry to be seen from the front. And one day we will. One day when Christ returns, we will see the front of the tapestry just as the grand designer meant for it to be. We're going to learn a lot then, but until then, in this life, we're looking at the back of the tapestry. Corrie ten Boom wrote a poem about this, The Master Weaver's Plan. Here's what she says. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors he weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. Can I ask you a question? Are you trusting solely in God's sovereignty? Are you giving the choice to him? You see, right now in this life, we are still looking at the back of the tapestry. You see, when you look at the back of the tapestry, you can't help but ask questions like, why? Have you ever stared at the back of the tapestry and you're asking God, why did this happen? Why did this happen now? Why did this happen to me? Not only why, but what? God, what is happening? What is going on? What are you going to do? Why? What? How? How is this all going to make sense? How is this all going to come together? How is this for my good? You see, those are the questions that we ask when we're looking at the back of the tapestry. Why? What? How? But here's what Paul learned. You don't need to know why. You don't need to know how. You don't need to know what, as long as you know the who. As long as you know the who is weaving. Paul says, I'm good. I rejoice. I trust in the one who is weaving because I trust. I know, he says, I want you to know that the one who is weaving is good, is love. I know that Jesus came to this earth and lived a perfect life. I know that Jesus died on a cross. I know that 3 days later he rose from the grave. And I know that he is coming back. And I know that one day we're going to see the full picture. We are. One of these days, we're going to get to see God in all of his glory, in all of his design. We're going to go, oh, that's why. That's what. That's how. But until then, we are called to be a people who trust who? It was enough for Paul. It was enough for him. This week, may it be enough for you and me. to trust in God's sovereignty, to trust that He is in control and what He's weaving in your life. It's good. For our prayer time today, I'm just going to ask you to just remain seated. I'd like to give you just a couple moments today just to have some time with your Heavenly Father, just to talk to Him. About maybe it's about some of the problems that you're facing. Maybe it's about problems from the past, some problems you're facing in the present, maybe some problems may never happen, but it's still, even though it's in the future, it just feels like it's right now and it's creating anxiety and worry and depression, stress in your life. Would you be willing to take those things to God today? I want to give us just a few moments to do that. And maybe during this prayer time, maybe you want to pray something like, God, would you help me turn my problems off repeat? Would you help me climb out of this pit of self-pity? Maybe it's, God, would you remind me of the mission that you've given me to preach Christ with my life? And maybe it's to say, Father, here, maybe you want to say something like this, Father, here are these problems, and I'm trusting in you, and I'm saying I'm sorry that in the past I've tried to carry these things on my own, but today I want to begin being a follower. I want to begin being a disciple of joy. I want to be like Paul and say, I rejoice. Would you just take a couple minutes right now? Just take a couple moments and just pray something kind of in that spirit, but pray it in your own words. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father now. Father, there is no voice sweeter than yours. There's no voice that always tells the truth like yours. Deliver us from the voice that delivers lies, telling us we're not good enough, telling us our past is too much to overcome, telling us our present circumstances will never change. Would you give us sight beyond our circumstances? To have the kind of peace and to have the kind of joy that Paul had in spite of the circumstances. And Father, I find it interesting that Paul, he didn't say in spite of being in chains, the gospel's being advanced. He said, because. So would you help us see those things that we're experiencing right now? That maybe it's because of those things that we're going to have an opportunity to bring hope and comfort to someone else. And may it be so, and may it be this week. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your good design in our lives. May you bless us, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all those who agreed said, amen.